Stuck in a career rut? What if the key to unlocking your next power move lies in silencing your inner critic? You're listening to This Woman Can. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland, where I help mature professional Black women take charge of their careers and lives to create a future on their terms. Hey, and welcome back to another episode of This Woman Can. Are you ready to ditch the self-doubt and step into that confidence I know is lying deep down inside of you? Because today, that's exactly what we're talking about. We've been there, right? We're stuck in a career rut, feeling like our talents aren't being recognised, and wondering, will we ever land that job we really feel that we deserve to be in? The pressure to measure up to everyone else's expectations can be suffocating, leaving us questioning our very move. But what if I told you there's another way? In this episode, I am chatting with the incredible Valera Wilson, a confidence expert who empowers women to break free from self-doubt as they navigate their careers. Valera's story is one of transformation, and she's here to share her expertise to help you leverage your unique skills and land the role. So grab a notebook, your favourite beverage, and get ready to be inspired as we dive into our chat with Valera Wilson. Hey everybody, and welcome. Welcome back to this week's edition of This Woman Can. My guest this week is Valera Wilson. And Valera is a global speaker, author, and consultant with nearly two decades of leading marketing strategy and driving millions of dollars in revenue for Fortune 100 and 500 brands. She herself, as you know, I like to speak to women who've had transitions. She's experienced a number of career transitions from nonprofit work to corporate events to eventually founding her own company, Positive Identity, that helps early and mid-level female and diverse talent increase workplace confidence so they can make powerful contributions to organizations and advance their careers. From her popular book, You're Absolutely Worth It, to articles and industry research on talent and career development, Valera delivers insights that help industry-leading organizations and their talent. So, Valera, welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Now, I always start with asking my guests very simple questions, first of all. How did you get to where you are at this stage in your career right now?
Oh, gosh, it's been a winding journey. But very fulfilling. And so I think you made a nod to it in the intro is I started in nonprofit work unintentionally. So I made a leap and I'm relocated in the U.S. to another state in which I did not have any professional contacts. I actually had graduated from college and made that courageous leap to relocate, to be near family. But in that, I didn't have a job. And so I literally had to, back in the day, go through the yellow pages. Right? If you remember those days, I'm telling my age now, go through the yellow pages and call around to companies and to figure out how I could get work. Mm-hmm. And so I landed an opportunity, first of all, as a teacher, funny enough. I have a business degree. My undergrad degree is in business. And so I was able to teach at a charter school business. So I was teaching middle school students business. Yeah. And God bless teachers is what I will say, because they deserve so much more because they do so much to build our students, future leaders. And so that led to a year later starting to work for a nonprofit. I started as a volunteer. So again, getting scrappy because I knew I did not want to teach. It was just more of, I always tell younger people today, even if your job is not the job, it could be the job that leads to the job. Yes. So care of what you need to do right now and then plan strategically. So that's what I did. So when the summer that I got off from teaching, I was pounding the pavement and a friend of mine suggested, hey, maybe you should think about volunteering somewhere and that might lead to your next. So I followed that guidance and I did. And just so happens, they had a job opening that came available later on. I ended up working for that nonprofit for 4 years. Mm. And during that time, I was very fortunate where they actually paid for half of my graduate degree. So I was actually able to get my MBA working for the nonprofit. So it really offset the cost of that. I wasn't making a lot of money as a not, you know, working in a nonprofit. So fast forward, I did that. I finished grad school. I made my way to a large international company, global company, and in their leadership development program. And I scrapped my way into that interview and I got the job. And so from there, I catapulted and began to lead different teams around different regions. So every year, I would move from one state to another and lead teams in different parts of the business. And so from there, I just started to hone my marketing background and begin to do things around domestic and global launches of products, you know, working with small business customers and marketing to them, marketing to large enterprise global customers, and just began to do a lot of different things in marketing. Eventually became, you know, a senior leader executive for tech companies in marketing.
Fantastic. And one of the things you've done there, as I said, and you know, that I find a lot of women are hesitant to do is make that transition from corporate to entrepreneurship to being out there on your own. What was the driver behind that?
Yeah, so you know, as I continue to do that and look at what I do, I think about it's been what am I passionate about, right? And how do I just do that? And I think sometimes there's got to be a plan. I think that's the biggest thing. And so even as I continue to work through that plan and here's, I'll take a step back because sometimes I feel like as women, we put pressure on ourselves to measure up to what we think other people want us to do,
Absolutely,
right? I
absolutely.
have to be an entrepreneur or I have to keep a 9 to 5 or whatever that is. And I think I've just been in a space where I don't feel like I had to choose that over the other. And so I've been able to leverage my expertise to found a company and also be a senior leader. And so I'm very transparent and very clear, even with the organization that I'm a part of the work that I do. And that's one of the reasons why they wanted me to be an executive at the company. Like we see that you're an author, we see that you're a consultant and you lead teams and you teach other companies how to lead, then we need you here. And so I've had women comment to me and says, I don't know why is it that you're not afraid to show both sides of you? And I'm like, well, because it's who I am. And I feel like if I'm not able to be who I am and be transparent, I don't need to be in that space. So.
And as you know, with this woman, Ken, I talk to mature women. I talk to women over the age of 40. Do you think the maturity or your maturity has played a part in you having the confidence to take that stance?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think earlier on, I would not have had the confidence to take that stance. I've seen though some detrimental effects of not taking the stance though. You know, I've seen women who compromise their health, right, to not take a stance. I've seen women compromise their own happiness not to take a stance. I've seen them compromise family time and things like that to not take a stance. And I'm at an age where I'm convinced of the value that I bring. And so, you know, my grandmother used to say this thing. She says, one monkey doesn't stop a show, right? And so it's what one company doesn't appreciate or value or even allow, another will. And so I'm convinced and I believe that just like in your personal life, work is based on it being a mutually beneficial relationship. And so I'm not just privileged to work for a company, they're privileged to have me. And the moment that it's no longer mutually beneficial, we should part ways. And most companies are quick and easy to do that, but for some reason, women aren't. We don't, we feel like we owe, you know, complete and diehard loyalty when it's no longer serving them. And so I really believe that it's a relationship. It just happens to be a professional one, but it should be managed the same way. It should be honored and it should be re mutually respectful. It should be where you feel like you're at least, if nothing else, valued, or at least, you know, accepted. Maybe you aren't valued to maybe the greatest degree, but you should at least be respected and valued to some degree, or heard. And it should be a win-win in whatever category that you consider.
And I love that. And I wished you know, I come across a lot of women who haven't grasped the fact that this is a contractual relationship. You know, you as an organization, you need to look after me, or you have a part to deliver in my work contract as much as I have a part to deliver in you. And if it's not working, then it's my prerogative to make a difference. But I think so many of us forget what we bring to the table. You know, and I always tell women I work with that organizations don't employ you just to have you there. They employ you because you bring something that they need. The
Right.
minute you don't have that, then you're actually expendable. You just haven't realized it yet.
Absolutely.
You know,
Absolutely.
so I'm glad you really you raised that. And one of the things you work with a lot, Valera, is confidence. And you mentioned that you did a women's confidence report.
Yes, a women's
So
workplace confidence report. I
tell me a little
did.
bit, because I think confidence also plays a lot, and we're skirting around it here when I talk about what gives you, but basically it comes down to confidence. So I think probably maybe take a step back. A couple of questions for me then, for the, before we go into the report, is how do you define confidence?
Sure. Confidence is believing that although I'm not perfect, I'm valuable. And what I have to say, what I do is valuable. And I have something to offer here. And it's, oftentimes we attempt to, downplay it in the sense of, well, I don't think I'm better than. Confidence is not, you can be confident and be assertive and clear on what you bring and what you offer. Even while you're recognizing that someone else may have a skill set in maybe a particular area that you think is better. Because we've all got someone that we might look up to, or we might think has something better, whatever that better is. But confidence is saying, but what I bring is also valuable. What I have to say is also important and needs to be heard. And it's basically leveling the playing field of any room that you enter in and any meeting that you sit in. And I think that's a key thing that is important if we equate confidence to performance, which is what I equate it to in the Women's Workplace Confidence Report. Confidence is another word for performance. If you are confident, if it's high confidence, most likely you're going to have high performance. Low confidence, low performance. And so that's how I would define it.
Thank you. Thank you. So based on that explanation, Valera, it's pretty straightforward. But there'll still be some women saying, well, look, I don't feel confident enough to step up to who I am. So what piece of advice would you know, and I'm talking about the mature women who have been working for a while, they're not new to this. They've had a successful career, yet they still feel they lack confidence to take that next stage or that next phase in their career or in their life. So what piece of advice, or maybe three tips you would share with women who feel this way?
Oh, great question. And you're right. Confidence or lack thereof does not have a name or age or gender or even a personality type associated with it. And so for the woman who's more senior in her career, and I do keynotes, one of my probably globally requested keynote is shifting from self-doubt to undeniable confidence. And oftentimes I will have women who reach out to me who are C-level or even men who are senior level people. And the thing that I always say when I do this talk is a couple of things. One is get to the root of the self-doubt. Because there's a reason why you are struggling or don't feel as confident, and begin to ask yourself why, really. Like, get honest with yourself, because that will then tell you what are the steps you need to take to address that, right? Because unless you address, confidence is just the symptom. The root is something else. Something else has happened, whether it was something someone said to you, for as far back as a little child to in the workplace, there's something that has happened or that you perceive to have happened. So it's real or unreal, experienced or perceived, that has caused this lack of confidence. So the most important thing is to get to the root that can then give you directions on things you can take. Maybe it's you need to do some more internal self-talk, get a coach, get a mentor, build your squad around you, go seek counseling or therapy, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Or maybe you need to just look back at some of the things, which is I call it take a trip down memory lane, which is usually the next step of it, is take a trip down memory lane and ask yourself, okay, what are the things that I have done to get to where I am today? Sometimes we skip over the obvious things
Yeah.
and we don't give ourselves credit. That lends itself to explain why we should be sitting in the seats we're in today, or why we should be sitting or going after something even better, right? Now, oftentimes, many of us balanced, maybe it was two jobs to go to get another degree or that first degree. Maybe we have led large teams and had incredible results. Some we just discount all those things in the
Yeah.
process of just thinking, oh, I just did that, or I
Yes.
just, it's kind of that word of, oh, that was nothing. No, that's major. So take a running list of all the things that you've done, because that explains why you are today. Those things have equity. That's that inventory list. And then the third thing I would say is to give ourselves permission not to be perfect in order to have confidence. We sometimes think we have to be perfect, have, oh, I'll be confident when. And we associate confidence to some future state of perfection that is impossible to attain. And so give ourselves to be imperfect. And why we should do that is because if we look around us, there are imperfect people that are doing the very things that are sitting in the very roles that we want. Many of us complain about those said people and say, well, he or she doesn't know what she's doing, but they're your manager and they're making the money that you should probably be making or that you could be making. So why not you? Right. And so those would be probably the three things I would say, is to, get to the root of why. Second being, do that running list and of all the things you've done to get to where you are, to explain why you should be where you are or why you should be going after your next. And the third is to give ourselves permission not to be perfect in order to have confidence.
Those are fabulous tips, and there's so much I took away from that. And I think one of the things I find or I see is that as women, we are always forward looking. Because we're that busy, we're either thinking ahead for the family, we're thinking ahead for work, we're thinking ahead for our careers, and we never stop to give ourselves just 5 minutes to recognize how far we've come, the journey we have. And like you said, we're so much taking things in our stride. Well, it's got to be done, so I'll do it. We don't realize that actually what you've done is pretty special. You know, if anybody else looking at it, it's pretty special, but you've just said, yeah, I need to get it done, I've done it. So, you know, so yeah, so I love those tips. So I want, as I said, I took a step back from the Confidence Workplace report. So tell me a little bit about that report now.
Sure. So I have, from a marketing perspective, the creative background experience. And when I say creative, but more people think of marketing, think of the jazzy, the fun, the ads. But it's also heavily data driven. And so a lot of my work, primarily in the marketing space, is B2B. And B2B thought leadership, education is everything. And so for me, it became important to not just talk about this buzzword, the hashtag, call it confidence, right? Because we can all post on Instagram and social media, hashtag confident. Okay, that's cute, but what is it really? And how do you translate that into quantifiable, demonstrable results or outputs or experiences? And so the workplace confident Women's Workplace Confidence Report was it did exactly that. It quantified and explained what are some of the reasons or the impacts to women's confidence or performance or lack thereof in the workplace, so that organizations could understand how they need to change or can change their internal policies, procedures, education, and development of their leaders, as well as also what are the things that they should be doing to help women thrive and to stay and retain them in their organization. So it was really kind of a comprehensive 360 view on what are the impacts or the factors impacting confidence there too. One is organizational and the other is intrinsic. Intrinsic is I'm confident, are the things that make a person who they are. So gender, age, ability, social disability, all those things, background, the things that they are, regardless of what organization they're a part of, that influences a woman's confidence or lack thereof. Women who maybe first first generation college graduate coming into the workplace may not have as much confidence as another woman who has, people in her family that have gone and have been in the workplace. But then the other part of that is the organizational factors, leadership, culture, policies, right? Peers, all those things. And then looking at also what impacts confidence, but then also what are the outputs of that? What happens when there's lack of confidence, low performance, low morale, low contributions in meetings and that sort of thing? Basically, organizations are seeping or losing that value add in meetings and in thought leadership that women could bring. And then finally, what they can do to retain women. So what are the top things? And I'll tell you that the top things were sponsorship, leadership, training, and development. Those no n not rocket science,
No, I was going to say
but
they're
yeah.
not any different, so they've always been that. That's the
Oh,
top
right.
it's always been.
It's always been that, and it hasn't changed. So it was really designed, again, to be a piece that really changed the narrative on the word confidence and put it into quantifiable, relatable, and most importantly, business terms.
And when you did that report, you did that research, did you see anything any differing when it came to age, the age factor in women?
As I think about the report, there weren't tremendous differences related to the age. It was really you started to see, particularly for women who were older, who were in more senior level roles, they were focused. Oftentimes, it was the struggle to maintain boundaries in the workplace. And it was because, and oftentimes they were in more senior level roles, so they felt like they had to show up and
I
not have
recognize it
those
well.
boundaries because I need to make sure that I'm a leader here and I'm probably the only woman in the room in a group of men. I need to show up just as strong as them. So I might have, greater family responsibilities, right? More than often men tend to in the workplace, but I still need to show up at the same level in the workplace.
So thanks for that. And if Pete, sorry, Valera, if people want to get hold of the report, is that possible?
Yes, you can go to my website, valerawilson.com, and go to Thought Leadership page, and it's right there under Women's
Excellent.
Workplace Study.
Excellent. So I'll put a link in the sh and pick a link in the show notes.
Thank
So let
you.
me just bring it back to you because I'm always interested into the woman behind the organization or behind their work. So we've talked about confidence and we talked about the work you do. Now, when it comes to you, you're coming across as a very self-assured woman. So do you ever struggle with confidence personally yourself?
Oh gosh, I have to laugh. Yes. Oh, all the time. And it's normal, right? No one has arrived and they've got confidence down packed. I mean, it's just like life. You continue to evolve and learn things about yourself and continue to grow. So, yes, am I the person I was in my 20s? Absolutely not. It comes with time and maturity and experience. And so, I think that's a piece of this. And I would say the times that for me that I know that I will struggle with confidence is when it's something new. But here's the thing, studies show that's exactly when it happens the most. So it's nothing abnormal. And in fact, studies also show that imposter syndrome suffers the most or it's at its height when you're encountering something new. That's different that you've never done. And it's an intuitive point, right? If it's something you've never experienced, you're unsure, you're unsteady. And so that's why one of the things I always say to women in particular is you've got to give yourself grace to go after that new thing. It's not going to feel comfortable and you're not going to, it's not going to feel like you're riding a bike because you just started it. It's new, it's unfamiliar territory, you're stretching yourself. That can cause your confidence to wane. And that's okay because I call those phases growing pains. And it's the uncomfortable and messy middle that's leading you to growth. So it's okay not to be confident. You're unsure.
And I think what we forget, especially at this stage of life, is that we're not totally new. We do have some transferable skills. Chances are we've learned something along the way that will help us with that transition to whatever we're doing new to help overcome the imposter syndrome. Because we always seem to feel like we're going straight in cold when actually We're going a little experience at some point. We just have need to identify the skills that we need to transfer over.
Absolutely.
So, Valera, so if you had to start over from scratch, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
Gosh, how far back are you asking? Oh gosh. If I were to speak to my younger self getting out of college, I think what I did in the relocation was great. I'm looking back like, wow, you moved to an entirely new city. You had a job already waiting out of college, and you instead moved somewhere where you had no professional contacts whatsoever. You just took the path that was more difficult and challenging. But I would say beyond that action, I would have absolutely focused on how to accelerate much faster in my career. I think sometimes as women, we can get in organizations and we nest and we stay at a particular level and we don't think about how to develop our network, develop those sponsors, get the visibility that we need to accelerate, not just our title. And so it's never about, it's about that, but it's not that. I always equate it to earning potential too. So oftentimes, the higher you go, the more you're making. And that equates to quality of life, right? And so it's important as I think about that, if for women is, no, it's not all about money, but it is about money. And so if you're doing the work, why not make sure that you're getting the most compensation that you possibly can, because it has huge implications for you. Women tend to live longer than men on average, even if we're married. And so that money could help you today and tomorrow, and help you and the people that you're attached to and that you love and care about. So that would be my thought for me, looking back.
Fantastic, fantastic. So I'd like you to finish this sentence for me. My best career advice for other women at midlife is.
To tout what you've done to get to where you are today, and to leverage that to either get to your next or to be considered the best at where you are today.
So pretty much learn how to blow your own trumpet.
Absolutely.
It's self-learned. And when we hear about self-promotion, we think we're bragging. But I always tell them it's not bragging if it's true.
Absolutely. And
You've
let me
done the
tell you,
work.
it's true. And so you have people that are bragging about things that aren't true or that aren't as great as your results, and they're getting the opportunities. They're
Most
getting the,
mediocre.
yeah, they're getting what you deserve because they're asking for it.
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic. So we're coming down to our last few questions. If you could choose your own mentor, Lara, who would it be and why?
Gosh, my own mentor. If I could choose my own mentor, I would say a lot of people say this, but for a very long time, I've looked up to Oprah. Like I can remember as far back as my 20s, but I would always look and I would say to myself, gosh, I wonder what it cost her to get there. I wasn't necessarily, I'm not concerned about what she achieved, but what it cost her to achieve that. And so it would not, it would be, I wouldn't even say mentorship. It would be an enlightening, that I would want from her, because there's a cost to everything we choose or not choose. And so for someone at her level of success, I'd love to get that perspective of what does it look like to have pursued these things? What did you have to say no to? What did you have to say yes to? Who did you have to say no to? And so I would say that would be for me what I who I'd want to talk to.
And just hearing that, one of the things, again, when I work with my clients, with the women I work with, we tend to focus on what is it we're going to lose if we take a particular course of action. Whereas I always say, it's okay, that's who we're going to lose, but what are you actually going to gain?
Yes, very true.
You know,
Absolutely. So as much as she may have
Absolutely.
looked at what the negative may have been, she was probably quite forward looking and maybe thinking, well, actually, if I do this now, it could have this, this, and this.
Very true.
You know,
You're absolutely right.
so not putting myself in Oprah's shoes, but putting myself in Oprah's shoes, I would, you know, I think it's a great question. I'd like you say, I'd be interested in her thought processes around that.
I agree.
Yeah, great. So, Valeria, what are the three things that you've learned about yourself during your career?
I would say that I am good at, really good at navigating change.
Okay.
And that I find a way to navigate change and then thrive.
Okay.
And so even if something is uncomfortable for me in the beginning, I know that at some point it's going to become like second nature.
Yeah.
And so so that's the one thing. The second thing is that I learned that I'm really good at boiling down what's important and focusing on that as opposed to getting distracted. I
Yeah.
call it majoring in the majors and not majoring in the minors.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what's helped me be exceptionally well in leading teams globally, at driving significant results is because at some point I stopped listening to all the noise
Yeah.
and focusing on what are the top two to three things that I should be driving towards and focusing on that. And then the third thing I would say is that as a leader, I really focus on partnering with my teams and not just being their leader, right? Sometimes, and I think women in general, we can be really good at that, is that is really making the team engaged at a level that feels like, wow, I have a voice in this. I have something to say here and contribute, and I'm actually being listened to and heard. And so pulling really good things out of people and allowing them to shine and not being intimidated by them shining, knowing that
Yes. Yeah.
I'm the leader, but I'm also behind the scenes supporting and pushing my team, and that's what I should be doing. And that it doesn't have to be the Valera show. It's as long as I know that I'm developing the next leader, I'm great. And I would add a fourth here is that I've really become, I focus on the results. I'm
Right.
hugely
Yeah.
metrics driven. And
Yeah.
so looking at the numbers, looking at the data, and or whatever the metrics are, and really focus on how to achieve them or supersede them becomes really important to me.
Right. Fantastic. Thank you for sharing those and the extra one. So, my last official question then is, what does success feel like to you?
Believe that's such a su subjective answer, but what does success feel like to me? It feels like you've given your best and you've showed up as who you are, not who you think people need you to be.
Yeah.
And you're using your gifts in a way that makes you really excited and that makes you feel like you're adding value, that success. And whether that's in the workplace, at home, in your community, when you have that feeling of a fulfillment and a sense of calm and peace, and like I know that I'm giving my best in the spaces that matter to me, I think that's success.
Fantastic, fantastic. That was my last question. So you gave just recap again how people can get in touch with you or connect with you, Valera.
Sure. I can always go to valerawilson.com. That's V as in Victor, ELERA. I always say that because people spell it wrong. Valerawilson.com. And on there, I've got, the different keynotes that I do, the different workshops I do, the different thought leadership. Or you can always connect with me on social media. LinkedIn primarily is where I am, as well as on Instagram at Valera Wilson.
Fantastic. So thank you so much for your time and for being my guest today.
Absolutely, Janice. Thank you so much for having me. I love the questions and the discussion.
You're welcome. Valera shared some great tips with us today, and I hope that inspires you to go after your next career move with confidence. Because remember, you have the power to break free from self-doubt and step into your undeniable power.
Head over now to my show notes for links to Valeria's website and her workplace confidence report to help you get started on your own confidence journey. And don't forget, you can subscribe to the This Woman Can newsletter for more inspiring interviews and actionable tips to help you become the most confident woman version of yourself. And of course, keep an eye out for my next episode, because I'll be diving deeper into a topic that Valera mentioned, and that is all about putting pressure on ourselves to measure up to what we think other people want. So until then, remember, if I can, you can, this woman can. Go out there and own your brilliance. Take care. Thanks for listening. If you got something from this week's episode, please let me know. Better yet, share it with your friends, colleagues, and anyone you know who can benefit from this message. Don't forget to subscribe or write a review and connect with me at my website, janicesutherland.com, where you can also subscribe to the This Woman Can newsletter or connect with me on LinkedIn. Remember, you have the wisdom, resilience, authenticity, and power to create a life on your terms. And if I can, you can, this woman can. Take care. Until next time.